Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sometimes he's just looking at his phone instead of the path in front of him. Mark was on his phone on social media a lot. It drove me nuts, and I've been thinking about this a lot. Social media to me is a filter that adds negativity. It is immature to post selfies with filters and like screenshots.
Is he doing that?
Yeah, and I know a lot of times you kind of doomsday things too. Like, oh, it's a lot, she's a lot, it's negative, and I think.
Are you saying he posts that?
Well, he sends messages like that, yeah. And I'm like, you may think it's nothing, but there's receipts everywhere in the world today. So what you say about me, I will never not know. Let's just be very clear about that. Whatever you say about me on social media will 100% end up in my hands. And I think that that's something you need to consider going forward.
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. With me, Kara Berry, Married at First Sight, Boston edition. You guys, we've made it. We're finally at decision day. And join with me, the one, the only, my sister, Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Kara.
How are you doing?
I guess since the last time I was on here, it was a birthday edition. And today's another birthday edition.
Today's another birthday edition. Yeah, we got to start out representing saying hello and happy birthday to our queen, Sarah.
Happy birthday, Mom.
It'll be belated by the time you hear this, but, you know, the love is just the same. We love you so much.
Yep, we do. We do have a cool mom, though, seriously.
she's really like a cool mom, you guys. We're really, really so blessed to have a woman in our life who is like, really, she's like a bad bitch, and also she's very corny, and I appreciate that equal parts. Really, she's gonna be mad.
That's true.
No. But we love you, Mom. We really do. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure we got that happy birthday shout out.
So how are you feeling now that we're finally done with Married at First Sight Boston?
I'm like, these people have to be getting paid. That's the only reason why everybody said yes. There's no way.
You're just like, we're just spoiling it right off the bat.
Well, I thought that's what this was about.
Well, you know what? It was spoiled for me before I saw it. I saw a tweet that revealed the results, and I was like, okay, well, I guess there's no point in me watching. So, yeah, everybody said yes, you guys. We just got to get into it, I guess.
Right, because I just feel like, I'm like, they have to be getting paid. Because there's just no way.
Well, yeah, of course they're getting paid, girl. We know they're getting paid.
Paid to continue on or whatever it is that they're doing, because it just doesn't make sense.
All right. Well, I appreciate you having you here, because this would have been like a 3-minute episode had you not been here. And I think it's only going to be maybe 15.
Right.
What it is that we're going to talk about. So let's start Jasmina and Michael. I mean, this episode is such a filler. Like, there's so much stuff that you can fast forward right through. Like,
right.
I don't need to go through the relationship and what we've seen and the highs and the lows. Like, I remember all of this. I don't need to see it again.
Right. We don't need a recap.
No. Not at all. So Jasmina and Michael go up first. You know, it's the usual, it's the same formula. We see them getting ready. They're doing these voiceovers, talking about how they feel about their partners, what they like, what they're hesitant about, you know, slow motion montages of Jasmina putting on her 1991 necklace. And, you know, it's boring, 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 boring. Do you want to talk about the fashion?
They always have them playing with their rings, like they're
right
so confused about what it is they're doing.
Like the ring is actively burning their skin. Like, ooh, I just gotta keep it from touching the skin. It's too hot.
Like every season, you have them flipping, taking their rings on and off, or twisting it around.
Right.
Every season,
putting them in their palm and gazing at it. It's mm-hmm. all.
Right.
So yeah, it's just lame. Do you want to talk about the fashions? I like, consistently, Jasmina I think has been the best dressed cast member that I can think of in a long time.
I liked her dress last night. It was definitely pretty, but I think the guys actually came through. I'm like, somebody dress them, because I can't see them coming up with that on their own. But
maybe
Michael looked good.
I liked the color of his suit. It was tailored well. Yeah, he looked really, really nice. Really,
it was also a little edgy by him going with that mauve color.
Yeah, yeah. And
he actually looked cute. Like, I've never really been very attractive to Michael.
But yeah.
Last night I thought he looked really nice. Everything on him looked great.
He has kind of a baby face, which I'm not into. But yeah, I thought he looked really nice, and he looked nice for both occasions. Like, he looked good. Like, oh, this is my man. Like, if I said yes, and I was like, oh, this is my man in his nice suit. And if he got dumped, and it's like, oh, look at this nice single black man, this nice little
child. But I just wonder, like, I don't think he had that suit. I think somebody helped him with that. I don't know. I could be wrong. But he
looked nice. Yeah, I mean, they probably got their suits provided from the same place they got their tuxes.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. What style of dress that Jasmina wear? I don't know what to call that, but you know what I mean. It's like, she usually wears, it's kind of like a cowl, like a drop. I don't know what you call that. It really suits her.
Yeah, but that seems to be all she wears. And like I said the last time, she's very thin, and you know, I mean, she has the body for that, those types of dresses, so that's what she wears.
Right. But I like her style more than I like Katina, because Katina keeps trying to make the same Shein dress work, and it's not going over for me.
Oh, they call them slip dresses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Slip dress. It really suits her frame. Mm-hmm. It's really cute. So, you know, Michael says that Jasmina is like intelligent and the epitome of a strong black woman. And Jasmina says Michael's loyal and humble and kind and has a heart of gold. But like, you know, it's just kind of the same old thing that they've been talking about for the past month or more now, that they like each other. They're just they're just like friend zoned at this point. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. Like, are we sure that it's Michael simply waiting for Jasmina, or do we think that in some way he kind of feels like, oh, this is just like my girl too, my homegirl?
I think because she's said multiple times that she wasn't attracted to him, that if he feels uncomfortable doing anything, which is why that whole booty hand touch thing that he claims he was sleeping, you know, it was such a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. That's your wife.
It shouldn't.
But he had to pretend like he was asleep.
Oh, so you don't think that he was actually asleep during booty gate?
I think he knew who she was in the bed with him. He knew. Subconsciously, he knew.
Yeah.
You feeling on that booty.
Yeah, Jasmina says, like, they're not even kissing at this point. But, like, things are good, but they're just not physical. And she says, you know, like, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it. I'm somebody who goes off of, like, emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, like, then she mentioned that if she was honest, there were two times during the experiment that she would have said that she wanted a divorce. What did you think about that?
Well, it's probably at the beginning when he was tripping all the time.
Yeah.
So that's probably what she's referring to.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I figured.
Because that seemed like they were doing pretty well. Once he finally stopped acting out, they were doing okay. But yeah. My thing is, did he act out so much that you, in the 2 minutes that you knew him, that you went from completely being open to, I'm not attracted to him at all? Or were you just not attracted to him from the beginning and he acted out and it just didn't, you couldn't bring, you know, get, it just never was there in the begin, from the beginning. I don't know. That's what she didn't say.
I saw the preview for the reunion where she described their fights as nasty.
She said he was yelling and stuff at her.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm hoping that we hear more about that. I mean, I trust Kevin to ask the real questions at the reunion, yeah. So I'm hoping that's what we get. But yeah, I mean, I have always trusted her, because I see a lot of myself in Jasmina, in how she, like, her boundaries, and what it is that she, like, accepts, and, like, also how she reacts to that, like, I'm somebody who, like, I got to work through my feeling. Like, if you're getting me to the point where I feel some type of way, we're going to have to transition out of that and, like, really work through it. Like, I don't anger easily and I don't get upset easily, but when I am, it's like, that's real. And, like, I need to, like, work my feelings out. So I feel Jasmina on that. And I feel like that's where a lot of people maybe don't like her or see her point, but I always have.
Yeah, I don't understand why people don't like her. That just,
I think
he was acting out. He was acting bad. He was having bad behavior.
Yeah, I think it's just optics. Like, we didn't see him being nasty to her, but we saw her reacting and not wanting to give up on this fight, and so she ends up looking like a bitch.
I don't think that's fair, though, because
I don't think it is either.
He was very clear that he was doing stuff and speaking to her off camera that wasn't acceptable, and nobody should see a problem with that.
I agree, but I think people just work off of what they see right in front of them, and what they saw was this woman who was, like, not willing to give him another chance. I think people may have, like, turned around once she was like, you know what, I'm going to give this up. I do think that, like, people turned on her a little bit in a good way. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I've always liked her.
I like her.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're going to be able to get out of the friend zone. And that's not a marriage.
Exactly. They do genuinely seem to like each other, though, which is nice. Like, dang, that's sad. Because, like, they, I think, like each other on a friendship level.
Right.
Know each other more than anybody else on the cast.
Yeah, that's what Lindsay pointed out. She's like, if anybody, then she said, other than me and Mark, which is ridiculous. But we'll make it, it'll be those two.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody can see that they get along. Once they got over that hump, which wasn't, you know, too bad, they had great times. So I think he needs to just give her, like, a peck. Now, don't tongue her down. But he didn't even do that, so.
Right. Well, that, like, gets us right into booty gate, because she was like, you know, I did wake up and he had his hand on, you know, cupping the underside of my buttock. And she didn't seem to have a reaction. Like you said, Michael was very insistent that he was asleep, that this was not an intentional thing. I believe him. You don't seem to.
No.
They just said it like it, she said like she wasn't turned off by it basically, but she wasn't necessarily turned on by it either. So Pastor Cal's like, I really want to get down to whether or not like that was okay. Mm-hmm. Is it okay that he touched your booty? And then Dr. Pepper's like, yeah, we're all on the booty train. All right. Of us are on the booty train. We want to find out what happened. Right. And so then we get to the decision. And Jasmine is like, you know,
she never answered the question, by the way.
She didn't.
He knows if he was right or wrong, you know, if that was a problem or not. Well, was it? Because he didn't seem to know.
Yeah. I don't think it was, but she does.
I don't think it was either, but she could have just said that.
She could have just said it. Just like give him just a little, you know?
Just give him, yeah, right.
So it gets to the decision, and Jasmina says she just doesn't know Michael enough, but she wants to, and that's why she wants to stay married. And then Michael says that he went into this giving it 100%. He feels like they both really tried hard, but there is one big elephant in the room with them, and he's really terrified about the prospect of them continuing on and being on the same track, right? He says yes, too. So there we go. I mean, they both said yes, and they were both like, seemed to be in agreement that if they got away from the cameras and once the show was over, they would be able to really reassess their relationship. I don't really get that for them.
I don't want somebody to stay married to me just because they ran out of time. Like,
right.
That would have kind of been like, that's the only reason? It's because mm-hmm. you feel like you don't know me enough and you can't really make a decision, but you're not staying married because you want to be married to me. You're staying married to me because I'm still on in test mode.
Well, Jasmina did say later when they all got together, like, mm-hmm. I felt like unless I saw this through after the experiment that I wouldn't be giving it my 100%, and I never want to end a relationship unless I know that I gave 100% into it. So yeah.
I mean, but that would have been better to say. And I ran out of time.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't giving romantic at all. They didn't kiss. I don't even know if they hugged when they got the champagne.
She hugged Pastor Cal more than she hugged him. I'm like, can you at least give her a peck on the cheek? That you got to start somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah.
That would have been fine, right?
You're
already touching on her booty, so.
Yeah, I think I deserve at least a little kiss. A little one. So give me your thoughts. What was your like initial impression of them as a couple, and how are you feeling now?
Well, my initial impression was that she's absolutely gorgeous and he was just aight. But you know, you don't always date based on looks, but he's also shorter than her too. So I was like, damn, he got 2-0 for 2. But but he does seem like a cool guy, and they seem like they really got along. So my final impression was that they really seem like great friends. I really hope, like you said, it would be a shame if they can't get over that physical hump, because it does seem like they really like each other as people, and that's important.
I think it's a really great foundation. They have a better foundation, honestly, than anybody else.
They do. Because they weren't, once they got over that hump, they didn't have any. They learned how to communicate and they moved forward.
Mm-hmm. And it's really important for me anyway, as somebody who, like, I find a sense of humor very important. Like, to have that rapport where you guys can, like, just laugh and y'all mm-hmm. get it. And, like, they're making jokes about the other couples later and they're both on mm-hmm. the same page. Like, that's really important to me.
Yeah, it's fun. That's you gotta have fun.
You have to. So let's move on to the opposite of fun, Katina and Elijah Wan.
this show gonna be real fast for me because those are the only two I wanted to see.
Right. And also, were you surprised that they both said yes? Jasmine and Mike.
Because I thought maybe he would and she would. Well, actually, I wasn't quite sure. No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Because Mom made us do predictions. I don't know if she forced you like she did me. I told her that I thought Jasmina would say yes and Michael would say no.
Oh, I did the opposite. I thought Jasmina would say no and Michael would say yes.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, so what did you think? What were your initial impressions of Katina and Elijah Mon? And what did you think? What was your prediction for their decision?
My initial impression of Katina and Elijah Mon was that they make a great couple until he opened his mouth. And the last... I'm not surprised that they both said yes. I'm not.
Yeah.
But again, my prediction was... I think I predicted him yes and her no.
Okay, and I think I was maybe the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think? Because I'm trying to remember, because I feel like out of the three of us, and by that I mean me, you, and Mom, that I was the first one who was turned off by him when they were on their honeymoon and doing the horse riding thing. And he kept working for her even though she didn't want to. Where were you on that? Did you think that, was that like your first red flag for him, or were you giving him a pass?
I gave him a pass. I gave him a little bit more time than everybody else did.
What was the moment for you where you were like, okay, I'm done? Was it the cooking?
I'm trying to think when it was. You know, I don't remember exactly when it was. It definitely was after the phone app gate.
Oh, it was after?
I was still riding with him at that point.
You were still riding with him all that time, Kelly.
I didn't like how he confronted her in front of everybody. I didn't like that at all.
Right. But,
you know, they were still working it out, but something happened after that. I was like, okay.
Ooh, you held on a lot.
At the retreat, but I don't remember what he did.
You held on to him all the... How did we not talk about this?
We did.
All the way from the retreat.
I was telling you that I felt like... I'm not saying he's right, but when he was saying he wanted someone that was ready, and he felt like they gave him someone that wasn't fully all the way where she should be in life, because he said he had gotten his degree. He had he has a house. He's ready to, he saved up money. He's financially stable and he's ready to do all those things. And she's not. And so in that way, they're not a match, because he wanted somebody that kind of was where he was and she's not. And well, I don't think he's wrong for thinking that, because that's what he asked for.
That's one thing for not wanting somebody who's still in school, but I think that is like the only thing that I could possibly give him. And even then, his behavior and his treatment of her during that, I'm like, you're blowing my mind that you still hold on to him. That his behavior was wrong and his execution was wrong. I don't think it's wrong to be like, dang, I didn't really want to be married with somebody who still got years of school left, but it's also, what was he bringing to the table outside of that? Because, okay, cool, you got yourself a little place in South Boston or whatever. That's cute. You want to travel, but you're obviously not well-traveled because, again, you don't know
how to pronounce Gondola.
Exactly. And thinking that he's correct. And Salmon. And... to me, he was no more prepared to be married than she was. And I don't think at any point did he really have a point and what he was bringing to the table. Okay, so you want to travel? That's not husband material. You have a house? Cool. That's not husband material.
Yeah, well, I mean, he said he wanted someone that was already knew how to take care of a home. And he's doing that because he's maintaining a home.
But so is she, because she's alive. I mean, clearly she's able to keep herself alive and well maintained. So she managed to live a whole life before him by herself. So
nobody's saying she can't take care of herself.
Well, he was.
He was basically
he said that he did not know if she like had a full mental capability of an adult. Kelly, do you remember that?
I don't know. I don't remember him saying exactly that, but he just said, he said something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's bad. What line, what line? Okay. Which line, Kelly?
You know what? I don't like his method, but I do like, I don't mind him pushing her to being more wife material, I guess, because
no. But like, what is wife material? Isn't that subjective? Well,
yeah, and in his mind, like the cooking, the cleaning, being more fiscally responsible, all of that kind of stuff. And I said this the last time, it's going to make her better for her next relationship, because I don't think that they're going to be together long.
They don't need to be.
But I do think that she's going to take some of the stuff that he said, honestly, like the, okay, I do need to get in here and cook, and I do need to clean, and I do need to, you know, not live the 20-year-old life and live the 30-year-old life. I do think she's going to take some of those things into her next relationship, and those would have come from him.
Maybe, but those are also things that probably could have just come with time for her. I don't know if she needed to like be in that relationship to learn those lessons.
I don't know.
Not with him. Anyway, so Elijah Wan, well, Katina did bring up something in before they sat down about how like basically Elijah Wan keeps moving the goalposts with her. And oh, actually Dr. Viviana said that. That he keeps moving the goalposts, and that eventually Katina will probably get sick of that, like constantly having to live up to him. And so in terms of looks, I thought Elijah Wan looked goofy. I thought his suit was goofy. I didn't like the color for him. I didn't like that cross shape to the side of his head. And I didn't like that he put shoe polish in his head, because once he got up under those TV lights, I'm like, sir, I'm seeing what's happening here, and that's not natural.
Well, he so. Share some of that with Michael, because Michael missing some hair in the back too. But no, I didn't like his suit was too much. It was like three pieces, and I don't even remember what she had on, so I guess I didn't care for that either.
You know, it was another tiny titty dress. You know, same dress as she always wears. So he looked like Patty Melt, which is why it was upsetting me. Chris from last season.
I don't
like fake Christian, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember what Chris had on, but I do remember that.
Well, you know, Chris always looked like he was going to a men's brunch. You know, like a men's empowerment brunch. You know what I mean?
No, it was too much. Whatever it was, that three pieces was three too many.
Right. So yeah, I mean, Katina was talking about the good times and the gondola ride, and then they
saying it wrong.
I know. And then he's like, "Oh, I can't even believe I'm saying that right." And Dr. Pepper and Dr. Viviana are looking at him like,
it's not even worth our time to correct you.
Right. Keep it moving. So then he said, what is it that really, oh, they started talking about whether or not they've had sex or been intimate yet. Mm-hmm. And then he said something weird about how you know, it was the best thing for him because, and this is like, I fully disagreed with Pastor Cal when he was like co-signing this, but he basically said, like, I know that if I get physical or bring in the physical aspect into a relationship, that I'm never going to get to know the girl. And I'm like, okay, well, that's really something that you need to look at. And that's not like, I'm not going to give you a pat on the back because you chose not to have sex with her. Like, to me, that's immature. If you know that you don't care about a person once you've had sex with them, that's something that you need to look at.
Well,
yes, Kelly.
Well, I don't know, because they only knew each other for 8 weeks. So if you come out the gate having sex with someone after a week or two of knowing them, I think what he was saying is, that's going to be in the forefront of my mind, and I'm not going to get to know you in any other way. And now if he'd said that, you know, after 3 months or 4 months of dating, then I might feel differently. But coming out the gate, just having sex right away, it does kind of, he's saying it could have clouded my judgment or my thought process on getting to know her.
And well, there needed clouds, because the clear skies weren't helping either.
Right. But now that he got some, maybe he is bored. Maybe he could lay off a little bit.
Maybe. I don't like the, just because you're able to admit something doesn't necessarily mean that we need to pat you on the back and congratulate you for being able to state that you have some sort of like bad characteristic. I don't know. I didn't like that, but I also don't like him. So
right.
He said some weird shit about how, like, you know, I know that she still like wants it or whatever. So, you know, like, he made her sound like some pervert watching him in the shower. So he could give her a little bit of what she needs. Like, ew.
Well, he said that. That was, it didn't bother me at all. I'm like, okay. what did you think was gonna, you were gonna feel?
Right.
Now I didn't like when he said she made something that wasn't edible. And
right.
Said, you know, I cooked or whatever. He's like, yeah, but it wasn't edible at all. And I'm like, well, dang, you know, like.
And that goes back to what Dr. Viviana said, is like, you keep moving the goalposts. Okay, you want me to cook, but now it's not good enough.
Right.
And somehow that is a slight on her as a person, which is whack.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, her family will see how he treated her on the show and talked to her in private.
Do you remember on the wedding he spoke to her bridesmaids and there was one that was like,
They were saying, I think it was the guy. He was like, he's talking and not saying all
that. Oh, that's right. There was, she did have a guy friend that wasn't. But there were some bridesmaids that didn't like him either.
Yeah, they were all there. But the guy was the one that was like, yeah, he's doing a lot of talking in circles and he's not saying anything.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean, that is a great point. Like, Kevin, I hope he asked, like, what did your friend, because we did see them, like, not really ride for him at all. And I wish we had leaned more into that. I wish we had seen more of that, because I felt like we saw very little of Katina's side of things. Especially
for her a lot.
Yeah. And I felt like even when we saw them meet up with the experts, I don't feel like they often really asked Katina how she feels. They just went off of what Olajuwon said. It was almost like she didn't need to be there at times.
Right. He did speak for her. Like, yeah, this is how you feel, right?
Right. And those bags under her eyes just got deeper and deeper.
Bigger. They did. That's true.
Birkins under those eyes at this point. Yeah, what happens after that? He said the stupid shit about how he's not capable of getting to know a woman when he has sex with her. And then Katina's like, you know what? We might not be able to do the 2 times a month travel thing, but you know, it's not really that big of a deal. Also, I don't have like a hard timeline set for the kids. Like, if they come in 2 years, great. If not, that's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that was basically it. Basically, she's giving up everything and, you know, forming into what he wants. So congratulations, they both said yes.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'll be interested to see if they're still together and if she, you know, still listens to him and buys into his stuff now that they've been intimate, now that they've been living together. Oh, we didn't talk about, well, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to mention he said some stuff about his dad, but.
Oh, yeah. What, is his dad not living?
I guess not. He said that he felt like his dad picked his wife. And then he was like, you guys don't know this, but it's actually my dad's birthday, decision day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really see the connection, but, you know,
I'm
not going to take it away from him. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was like, you really pulled that one out as deep as you could.
He worked hard.
I mean, it's not like I don't, if his, because I couldn't understand if his dad wasn't living or not. I don't, I guess he's not, but.
We never saw his parents, really.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
We always saw him with that.
Thinking, oh, this, that was such a touching moment. I mean, they, Viviana and Pepper pretending like they were crying for every little thing. I'm like, come on, you didn't cry for that.
Right. There were a lot of Kleenex pulled out, and I just feel like we wasted several.
Right, definitely.
You could have gone through that whole decision day on one Kleenex.
Right. So. At the very, very maximum.
So anyway, let's go on to Steve and Noi, because honestly, after they said yes to each other, I fast-forwarded right through Katina and Elijah on. There was nothing that I needed to see from there. Mm-hmm. So Noi starts to cry when she talks about how Steve makes her feel safe to express her emotions. And I'm like, does he? Because you stay going on Instagram stories talking about how he's not good enough for you, and then you act right. Like you know what he's talking about, but okay.
She talks shit about him to her friends and on Instagram, and
right.
Claims that she's not talking about him.
Right.
But then when you're in his face, you're saying something different, and yesterday you said something different. I honestly thought she, I don't get it. I don't understand her.
I don't get their relationship
at
all.
And I love Steve. So it's just like, he can't do any wrong for me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Well,
what do you do? Steve is cool.
I think Steve's a cool person. I think I would hang out with him. And I think we could like do a little dance routine together, but I also feel like he talks a lot about how she just needs to trust him, but when it comes time to like offering reasons as to why he should be trusted, it's just like, oh, like all these answers are not sufficient for me. So I can understand why she keeps being like, I don't feel comfortable in, your future because the excuses that you're giving me are not good. Like, I don't feel like he ever helped himself when they were talking about their finances. And he's just like, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. But when they even had a conversation, he would just be like, well, I'm just working off vibes here. So that's it. And to me, I'm like, okay, I understand why she doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm cool with him.
So they get into it about like the dividing up of the household tasks. So there's still not a thing has been solved or rectified between still having the exact same fights. Still, even on the decision day couch, they're still like haven't made a decision on whether or not it's fair for him to do more of the household chores when he doesn't have a job. He still thinks that she should be doing a full-time job and also contributing 50-50 to the household chores. What do you think about that?
Okay, so she thinks he should be doing pretty much everything. And he thinks that she should be doing something. And so I agree with him.
She should be doing 50-50. And she said, no, sir, I have a job.
Well, you can't do nothing, though, either.
That is true. But she also said that she has an issue with the fact that he seems to think that these things are very transactional, whereas she would like to just do something mm-hmm. without him keeping score.
Yeah, he does tend to do that, but I think he's just like, you can't do nothing though. Just because you work from home and he doesn't have a job doesn't mean that you don't do anything.
No, I agree.
You still have to clean up after yourself and do, you know, help out here and there. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but I think he's just trying to point out like, okay, but that doesn't mean you do nothing.
No, I fully agree.
So maybe that's his way of saying, you know, here's, you didn't do this and that. You could have stepped in here. You could have stepped in there. Maybe it wasn't the best way to say it, but I don't think that she should do nothing. And
she thinks that either. I think she thinks that he expects her to do half and have a job, and he just does half and doesn't have a job, and he just works on his vibes.
You keep saying vibes. I don't know. I think they'll be fine. I think she probably could do a little bit more.
But I also think she's right. Like, if you're gonna sit there and like be like, I did this, you did that, you're never gonna be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're nitpicking, mm-hmm. you're always going to come up short.
Yeah.
And with your relationship, like you have to realize that there's never a time where it's going to be 50-50. Like somebody's always going to be giving more, whether it's emotional or doing the household chores mm-hmm. or being supportive or mm-hmm. something. Like you're never going to get that 50-50. So you need to make peace with that, Steve.
Well, at any given point in time, you're right, it's not going to be 50-50. But obviously, he said that for a reason, because I think when you date someone or you're married to someone who is retired, or in his case, you know, in between jobs, but financially stable, you have a tendency to think that they're doing nothing, and it's like you're frustrated because you're working. And right. you're like, okay, why did I have to go, you know, pick up this from the store? You could have been doing that, you know? Yeah. But it's like everything that they do is everything that they don't do. It's like, you could have done that. You could have done that. You know, you have to get out of that, because I've done that before. I had that feeling before.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, mine was retirement, not in between jobs. But I think that you have to get yourself out of that mindset. They have their self in that position for a reason. It's not their fault that you're not stable enough to be in between jobs and figure out what you want to do. It's not their fault that you're retired, but that doesn't mean that you don't contribute to the household. And I think she might be on the beginning of that, whereas like me, like they're sleeping in the bed, not getting up till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12, you know, and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. I work half my day. You could have been doing such and such and such and such. You have to get out of that. You have to get out of that mode. And once you get out of that mode, then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
He deserves his break. He saved up for his break. If he wasn't financially stable, which I don't think this is the case, if he put himself in this position to be in this position, it's not so that he can carry the load of the household 100%. He's here because he needs a break.
I also think that like he could have worded it that way, and he had a lot of opportunities to say that, but he didn't. I don't feel like I ever heard him say like, I need a break. I think he just said like, I got let go from my job, and then I decided to take a tour of Florida for whatever reason, and here I am. And you know,
vibes. You think he would have received that though?
I do. I think that they keep talking around something and never really getting to the brass tacks of it all. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm very confused about their relationship as a whole, because I do see that they have some sort of chemistry, but I don't understand. Like, I feel like a lot of things happen off camera and they talk about things, and I'm like, I'm not seeing any of this really. Like, they keep talking about like all the very difficult things that they have to work through. And even though I think this situation is frustrating, mm-hmm. again, we can have one good conversation and that would be over.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think they'll be okay once she gets past that, because it is, when you first start dating someone or being in a relationship with someone and they're not working, but they also don't have to, it is like frustrating. You see him laying in the bed stretching and you're like, really?
Right. But I don't think she has that assurance that he doesn't have to.
Apparently he doesn't, because he, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Right.
He seems to be okay to me.
He seems to be. So that was basically it. They both said yes to each other. Mm-hmm. Steve says that he has the feeling that like she doesn't really understand or believe in what he's capable of. But again, just have one conversation and this all could be over for all of us. And this is where I'm like, okay, Pastor Cal, I had to roll my eyes. It's like, you know what? I felt the connection to you, Steve, because, you know, when I met my lady, I was also in between jobs. And it's like, I can hear this, like, how your wife, whatever double toil and trouble led to this relationship. Like, I don't want to hear about his relationship. Because it's giving, she had to sacrifice a lot. You know, we talked about that that pastor who proposed to his girlfriend after how many decades of them being together, mm-hmm. and proposed with the Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
That's what Pastor Cal's relationship is giving, and so I don't need to.
Well, you say he was in between jobs, but he had a lot of stuff going on.
Right, and he's like, you know, I see that you have the potential to go off into the stratosphere, and I'm like, okay. I don't need to see, like, Pastor Cal living his fuckboy potential out on other people. I just don't care. So, they said yes, even though they both admitted to having severe trust issues with each other. So congrats.
Right. She used the word trust issues. And I'm like, okay.
See, and this is the stuff. These are the things that they say where I'm like, what is it? What's going on?
Yeah, that's true. Because not keeping up with your share of the housework is not trust. Maybe she's talking about financially, because she kept saying how she grew up in this poor environment and she doesn't want to go back there. She just wants to make sure that they have enough money so that she doesn't ever have to feel like that again. Maybe that's mm-hmm. the kind of trust she's talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see. So moving on to the Sharks, Mac and Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Lindsay was dressed like she was going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm not sure why she came in a full-length ball gown.
And she had her hair in that flip.
Yeah.
Nobody does that flip.
Looked like Eleanor Roosevelt. Like, yeah. What was she doing?
Nobody does the flip anymore. It's like someone was like, oh, we can flip. She said, can you do something to my hair? And they're like, oh, we can do a flip because you don't really have much hair. And she
was like, perfect. That was like the white girl equivalent of bumping the ends, you know?
Right. I used to wear my hair like that in the early 2000s.
Right. She needs a full makeover. I've been so frustrated with Lindsay because she keeps talking it or like dropping hints that she has a good job and makes good money. And remember she flipped out over Mark because he put a couple of items of clothing into the dryer. She was like, you just ruined $250 of clothing. And yet every look we get her is like a peach coral top that looks just like her skin. Or some sort of maxi dress paired
it's
with like
a maxi dress.
A maxi dress with a like a sweater that you would wear to the gym. Like those zip up hoodies. Like why is she always wearing like, you're in a ball gown with a zip up hoodie that you got from your old softball team. Her fashion's not giving. I'm so sick of those blue earrings. You know the ones that I'm talking about? So I just wear these blue drop earrings that have like
mm-hmm.
I don't know what shape they are. I hate them. I need her to have a whole haul. Put all her clothes in the dryer, Mark. Let's just start fresh. Say her. Acting like her clothes are all precious. Right. Girl, you went to Ann Taylor Loft one time. Right? She seems like one of those people who saw the article about how you should like spend more on like high quality clothing, you know what I mean? And just like have a few pieces rather than getting a bunch of fast fashion. But again, her looks are just not giving.
No, it's definitely, there's nothing that she's worn that I've been like, oh, that's cute.
Not a single thing. She needs to find the right colors for her because she's doing it all wrong. And she needs to figure out something else with her hair. I think she needs to figure out, like, not everybody has to be blonde, okay? Blonde is not for everybody. I think her hair is very thin, and I think the blonde makes it look thinner. And She's also got like a differently shaped head, which with thin hair. I've been saving this up all season because every time I look, I'm like, girl, you keep talking about how like you're this, that, and the third, and I'm just not seeing it.
You I'm breaking it down head to toe.
Listen, I'm here to help.
My only thing is her lashes are just too thick.
And the lashes. Dreadful.
She's still not worse than Mirla, though. Mirla's was bad. Mirla had the worst eyelashes I've ever seen in my life. She's paying $100 for that.
Hers didn't make sense because she never wore makeup.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense why she had these 3 feet long lashes, not even a BB cream on her face, not even a tinted moisturizer.
Yeah, her lashes were horrible.
It was just a lot of look. And then just being like, well, I'm not going to do anything else. It just didn't make
sense. Right.
Visually, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it was very weird.
But yeah, so she looks like I said, going to some sort of Republican ball. I don't know, something where Tucker Carlson would have hosted.
Oh no, not Republican.
And I know she's not a Republican. She just looked Republican. So, you know, they asked Mark how he's been feeling lately. And he's like, you know what? Actually, things have been a lot better because Lindsay's letting me eat what I want and not forcing sushi down my trachea. And now I'm getting to eat pizza. And so I'm happy. So, I also liked how the montage of him like talking about the issues that he had with Lindsay was just him being like, stop, 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 stop poking me, please, in the bed. I need you to stop, like, digging your little fingers into the side of my stomach. Like, please stop. Mm-hmm. Ugh, I would have divorced her just on that. I don't like people touching me like that.
Yeah, petting him.
Too much.
Yeah, I mean, there's a multitude of reasons why he should have left her.
Mm-hmm. What were your initial thoughts on them?
I thought she was way over the top, and I didn't think he was going to be able to keep up with her, and he can't. So he again was like, she drags him so bad. Like,
she does.
And about him posting, I post pictures to get likes.
Right. This was better. It came, her little speech like was so out of left field. And she was talking about all this stuff that we had never heard before. And how, first of all, she's talking about how, like, I was prepared. Well, because they bring up how they did, like, a fertility test, right? And talking about how, you know, she's at a certain age in her life where, like, that needs to be a conversation. And she's also adventurous, and how she is just going to be the kind of person who puts her baby in a baby Bjorn and jets off to Africa or whatever. And how she doesn't think, you know, she's like, you know, there are people who want the picket fence and the quiet life, and I think that's what Mark wants. So it starts off like all sweet about their future, and then she's like, actually, I think he's a flop bitch, and he doesn't want to do anything. He's obsessed with social media. He sits there and looks at his phone instead of life and the universe, and he's posting selfies and screenshots, and I think that social media is so damaging, and, you know, he's like basically stuck on his phone. And I don't think we had really heard that stuff. Like, we'd heard her complain about how he gives to everybody except for her, but we didn't hear about the social media stuff.
Oh, she said it before. She's like, you gotta stay off your phone. You gotta stay off your phone.
That's true.
She has said that, but she never said you're on your phone searching for likes and looking for attention until yesterday.
And it's like, well, maybe you should look into that, girl.
Yeah, I don't. She dragged him so many times.
So many times. And I thought it was so, she really had a lot of nerve to be like, you know, you have been talking about me on social media and reaching out and saying these things about me, and I have the receipts, and you need to know that if it goes out on the internet, that, like, I'm always going to find out. And I'm thinking of all the times where Mark is going to have to sit there and watch this season over her behind closed doors telling producers that his dick doesn't work,
right,
that he smells, that he doesn't know how to make her come, that he's whack, that he's a loser, he would never, like, he can't even touch the hem of her and Taylor Loft maxi dress. Like, okay, girl.
That's him multiple times, and I'm like, wow, he really said yes to that?
Right. That man has severe mommy issues.
She belittled him many, many times as a man.
Mm-hmm.
In front of America, not just your own household.
Yeah.
And I don't think... Yeah, I don't get it. She really was disrespectful to him so many times. And he's saying, she was there for me, and I can't see myself without her. I'm a better man. What?
Right.
He said he was a better, isn't he the one that said he was a better man?
Yep, he said that I feel like Lindsay's pushed me more than any other person in a relationship that I've been in, which is, like, obvious. But then he's like, I think she made me grow more. And yeah, I think he said I'm a better man.
In what way? What way has he grown?
I have no idea.
You don't have a job. You don't really have your own place to stay. I don't know where I guess he got that house from his grandma. You don't do anything. You're not cultured in as far as food. She called you a chicken finger man. And you're saying that she has elevated you?
Right.
To what? This is one of the worst times of your life.
In every possible way. Yeah, I don't know what he was talking about, but they both said yes. Okay.
I don't know why she wants to marry him when she dogged him so many times.
I don't either.
Why you want to marry? Why you want to stay married to somebody that doesn't can't do anything for you?
Not a thing. She keeps acting like she used to date these like big ballin'
right
finance dudes, and she's just used. She's accustomed to a certain kind of lifestyle, and that he just doesn't cut it because he's like Wonder Bread.
Good luck.
And she's used to focaccia. So,
I'm sure if things don't work out, your inbox will be blowing up, right?
Who, Mark?
No, Lindsay's.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying that facetiously.
Crickets. Crickets. They're wild. She pulls out a yes button because she got him a no button.
Yeah.
As their wedding gift, because she's like, oh, I'm going to need somebody to say no to me. So, okay, it was supposed to be a cute moment. Ain't shit cute about this relationship, so let's move on. The couples all move out of their apartments, and we kind of figure out what's going on. So we find out that Noi is actually going to move into Steve's apartment, but that Jasmina and Michael have decided not to move in immediately. And Michael says that he feels like it's best that they don't put like a timeline on that because it puts too much pressure. So he's just going to take things day by day. Mm-hmm. Did that surprise you?
No.
Yeah.
This season is, unfortunately, we should be surprised by everything, but not surprised by nothing at the same time.
True. Very true. Yeah, I mean, that was it. There was a flashback of Mark on decision day giving Lindsay the keys to his grandma's house, and they're going to be moving in and renovating, and I'm sure that's going to be a disaster.
With what money?
Girl.
I can't wait to see what they did. But she didn't like anything about it.
I mean, she was delusional about it too, talking about just give me $500, I'll pull up all this carpeting and get new flooring and new cabinets and all this stuff. I'm like, girl, you're gonna need like $500 for a cabinet in the kitchen, but okay.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, this is just it's a recipe for disaster. There's no other way to put it. Mm-hmm. So then all the couples get together for drinks, talk about what their decisions were. Yada, yada, yada. Chris and Alyssa show up from episodes 1-4. And, you know, Alyssa's in full glam. Chris looks like he lost weight. He looks lighter. So? Huh?
You think so?
Yeah, I think he lost a little bit of weight. Maybe 10 pounds. Hmm. Yeah. He looked a little slimmer. Jasmina and Michael are making jokes about how Alyssa was dressed like she was going to her ex-husband's funeral.
Right.
And now she showed up late so she could make a lasting impression. And so they asked them like what's been going on with them, and Alyssa's like, oh, you know, like I've had a really good summer, really good times, whatever. And Chris is like, and I've had an even better one not right. having to saddled up with her. And right. I have all dating. The pressure of this whack relationship, and I'm dating. So, and she just had to sit there and push her hair behind her ear. She couldn't say shit. Pissed. Horrible. Awful. Awful.
You see, she gave everybody a hug. She skipped right over him. Like, she's terrible.
She's whack. I did think it was funny where Lindsay was like, yeah, I mean, Chris is obviously thriving. Clearly, he's seen how much he's worth. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's being rewarded for it. And the producer's like, okay. And what do you think about Alyssa's progress? She's like, I honestly, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
well, I don't think
she's been in them DMs, which I guess will maybe come out next week.
That's right, with Mark. So yeah, she's like, I don't think haven't seen any progression from her. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to say anything about her. Then Katina and Elijah won. Reveal that they've had sex, and after decision day, they sat in the bed and talked about their hopes and dreams or whatever, and it turned into sex. And she's like, yeah, it was worth the wait. I doubt that. But yeah, that was about it. Oh, and then Steve says to everybody that there was a tradition between he and Noi to give each other ring pops. He just wanted to give her one last one. So he does. And then he's like, I actually want to give you a second ring. And he pulls out that free one that he had to do the commercial for a couple episodes back.
Right. And he also flashed that brand.
James Allen. Yep. Yeah. Get a tight shot on branding. The box. Yep. And she bawls. She is like broken down, boo-hoo-hooing into tears. And I just wondered, like, how did everybody else feel knowing that he was the one who got the free ring and they had to sit there and watch them have this romantic moment?
Well, you know? I watched Lindsay. Lindsay was pissed.
Oh, really?
I think everybody else was generally happy. I think Lindsay was like, I wish that would have been me.
I could definitely see that, because she certainly fancies herself as the main character, and she is not.
Yeah, I saw her face. She was like, oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Like, bitch, I wish that would have been me.
Right.
But the other people, I feel, were happy.
Mm.
Other than the I'm such a nice person girl.
Oh, Alyssa.
Yeah, Alyssa. I don't think she cared.
I don't think she cares about anything.
Anybody.
So what were your thoughts overall about the season? Did you like it? Are you over the show? What are you thinking?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
You know what? I'm not gonna. This was definitely the worst season for me.
Mm-hmm.
Last season was second worst. But this season, I think the last two seasons just have not been good. And the only thing that can make it better is if we see some improvement next week. And
what would you want to see out of the reunion?
Some people, well, like maybe Jasmina and Mike moving together, because they didn't even live together at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Living together, happy, at least being intimate in a, you know, maybe not sexually, but, you know, flirty way.
Right.
Kissing, something that would be good if Elijah Wan is broken down a tad or two and they're still married.
Mm-hmm.
If Mock and Lindsay still live together, which I bet they probably do, because she's abusive. She probably told me he can't go nowhere. And I guess if my boy Steve and Noe are still living together and still married. But there was something that he said at the very end. I didn't understand what he said, but it was like, he asked him, are you still happily married? And he responded in some way. Did you hear what he said?
Uh-uh.
And Kevin was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't hear what it was that he said, but it was a little bit shady, and she looked upset. But you never know with these trailers if they were being faked out or not.
Yeah, right. You never know. But I think that, I think that's the only thing that could save it, is if they're actually still, if any of them are actually still married. And Jeff, you know,
that any of them
might
will.
Have to be living together at this point.
Mm. So do you think who should be saying no when we get to the reunion? Who would you be like, okay, we're better off that you guys were not together?
Mark, but I don't think mm-hmm. he will. And Katina, but I don't think she will either. I really don't. I think, yeah. You know, you remember when we were talking about San Diego and we thought San Diego was the next one, and then they pushed out this Boston season. We're like, wait a minute, we didn't even know you were in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? I'm thinking that the reason why they did that is because last season was so bad and so horrendous and not successful that they were like, oh, we had everybody get stayed. So this is a success. Everybody said yes. So let's push this out there, because I think that these people actually probably stayed together.
Only time will tell.
They had to do something, because last season was 0-5. So
it was.
So if this season everybody said yes, so it's partially a success, but next week will tell you if they're really still together. Outside right. of Alyssa and the other guy, you know.
I don't even count them, because y'all didn't even.
I don't even count them either, because they weren't even part of it. Part of the most right. episodes. But if the four people are still married, then that would be why they did this, because they had to change that narrative from last season.
Mm.
Like, we're actually successful at this. Even if three yeah. of them stay together, that would be a success.
Even two. Because right. I think you're right. Like, I think they had an issue with, they kept churning out these seasons so quickly and filming them as before the other ones ended, that they didn't have a time to really gauge the audience response and course correct.
Yeah. So I think that's why they pushed out this season, because they had all yeses, and out of the four, at least two of them are probably still going to be married, if not more.
Yeah.
So
I think people really were like, okay, where are the experts, and what are the experts seeing that we're not? Because I feel like everybody saw Chris in Atlanta. The first 5 minutes of him being on television, we're like, why is he here?
Right. Exactly.
So
that's why I think this Boston season came out of nowhere.
Mm. Well, that's very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing if your theory proves true.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the couples are probably still together.
What would you like to see be improved or changed on the show that would make you more willing to watch in that future season?
I do think they need to go back to more counseling,
mm-hmm.
because they started doing more events and these goofy let's play volleyball, let's play dodgeball stuff.
Yeah,
that's not really. Yeah, I do think it helps to communicate with the people that are in the same situation as you, because other people can't understand. I get that.
Right.
But I feel like the forced events are not helpful to the relationships. I think they need to go back to having more the girls getting together, the guys getting together, talking,
mm-hmm.
and more counseling in the home or wherever they meet. I think they need to go back to that, because this dodgeball, volleyball stuff is corny.
I agree.
So that's what I would like to see. Remember when the guys used to get together and they'd talk amongst themselves, and the girls used to go do this, and they didn't really do that, I don't feel.
Not really. And I think it does make for better television because oftentimes there would be like one or two really good couples, and then the ones who were in the bad couples would be like, damn. And then they'd come home and make some drama. And I love that.
Yeah, right. They would come home and spill all the beans.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. To go back to that.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see. And I don't know what happened to the San Diego season, because it just, like, I heard about it, and then all of a sudden Boston came out, and I was like, whoa, what happened to San Diego?
Right. That's actually a great question. Let me see if I can find anything. Sorry, y'all. New York is happening. So, yeah, I'm really annoyed. I'm really hoping that we have more of a break between seasons. And yeah, you're right. It says, I'm looking at a bunch of articles that are saying that they, I guess, filmed at the end of 2021 uh-huh. for San Diego.
Yep. So it's going to be coming up. Probably they're going to talk about it towards the end of this, you know, at the end of the next episode.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So they said that, okay, I guess they were filming between January 28th and February 6th. Huh. Okay, so they had interviews in November. And then it looks like they started maybe of January. So maybe this wasn't like a scrapped season. Maybe they just pushed it back. I don't know.
I never heard him talk about Boston. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, now I'm seeing they did announce season 14 would be Boston and then 15 would be San Diego. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see. Yeah, I need like at least 3 to 4 months before we start the season, because this is wild.
Yeah. It would be nice. They definitely don't need to start anything until for a while.
Yeah. It's too much. Too much. Yeah. All right, Cub. Well, thank you for recording with me.
You're welcome.
You definitely, like I said, I'm truly shocked that we got over an hour of content. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. I love you guys. Bye. Bye, Cubby.